You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
There we go. Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. Oh, wait, I have this one.
And then in the background is that. Wait.
That rubble takes a while.
Oh, that's rubble. That's not people. I thought it was people.
No. The people applauding the implosion when they imploding the implosion.
Yes, applauding the explosion.
Applauding the explosion. I said imploding the implosion. Yeah. Either of those would have been the name of this episode if this was a normal episode already. But no, guys. First of all, that's Drusa Cogburn. There we go.
What up, dude?
I'm Chris Crespo, and we're doing a spoiler bonus episode on The Mummy, as you can tell by the title of the episode, where it clearly says, spoiler bonus episode, hyphen, The Mummy. Right?
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert, guys, we're talking about The Mummy in detail. Oh. And also because you won't be here for this week's episode, because you'll be locked in a box with a couple other dudes, a tiny box, and we won't say whether it's in outer space or underwater, but it's somewhere.
Only until 4 o'clock, though.
Oh, yeah?
Well, found that out today.
I think everyone will be gone by then. So we are talking about The Mummy, and we're gonna do it now, and we're doing it spoiler filled. So if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want to know some of the secrets, and there are secrets, I actually had an ending that genuinely surprised me a little, but then everything made more sense to me when it was over. So if you don't want to know what that is, stop listening right now. Let's watch the movie and then come back. If you don't give a shit or you already seen it, welcome. Here we go. We saw the movie. Talking about all the deets, Drew, overall feelings about it, go.
First off, what was the trailer that had the slowed down Coolio song in front of it? Because that was ridiculous.
That you pointed out afterwards. It was,
well, because
right? But is it Coolio or is it Weird Out? That's important.
No, it's Coolio. Because even in the Coolio song, it had the chorus, the people doing the harmony in the background. Yeah.
What was that movie?
I forget.
Was it a horror film? Action? Something? Was it Valerian? No. Was it that Valerian trailer?
It might have been the new Valerian trailer.
I don't know. The Valerian trailer. It's a 3D trailer, but we saw it in 2D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it's a 3D trailer because all the action was going forward, like into the screen. We have to see that in 3D.
Of course, it's the 3D event. It's Luc Besson.
It's Luc Besson.
3D
yeah.
nonsense masterpiece.
It's Luc Besson doing it, so blah, it's not just some jerk off.
No,
post.
So, just wanted to point that out.
That is hysterical. Yeah, keeping with the trend of the slow down cover,
bro.
But they went.
Yeah.
Spend most of our lives
exactly.
No one thinks about that movie at all. No. It's crazy how many movies get made that after just a few years, no one thinks about them.
That movie blew up everything in the 90s. Like, it was...
It was really popular when it came out.
The soundtrack was popular. Michelle Pfeiffer was,
hot
at the time.
She was already hot, yeah. She was...
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a socially conscious movie.
It was. It's always, to this day, still a relevant topic.
Yeah.
The underfunding and under-education of inner-city schools and America in general. Yeah, 100%. That's still, you can still make that movie today and be like, yep, this is relevant.
Yeah.
They've been making that same movie since Blackboard Jungle?
Yeah, and they've been making fun of it in all the comedies since it came out.
Yeah, for real. What were we talking about? Why were we talking about all that shit?
Because the trailer.
Because of the trailer.
Because the trailer.
Because of that Valerian trailer.
Yeah,
the
Valerian trailer. And that trailer called it,
in the beginning, it was called Luc Besson's Valerian.
Yes.
But at the end, they have the Valerian in the city
of 1000, yeah.
So is Valerian, the two of them combined, like Gogeta style?
I think,
because their names are like Valeria and...
No, it's Valerian. His name's Valerian.
No, their name is like Laureline. No, their name... I, So we're talking about The Mummy.
Yeah.
And what did you think of The Mummy? That was how we got
there. You know
there.
What? I asked you okay. The Mummy. Okay, so the Mummy.
You son of a bitch.
The Mummy. It starts off with the Universal logo.
That's the episode right there. That's what you did to the beginning
of
the
episode. It starts off with the Universal logo.
Oh, yes. Thank you
and then it goes
up.
To the
it turns around.
Dark Universe.
The logo turns around and it says Dark Universe. It has this bird, its own fanfare.
Yeah, it's strange, but that's what Universal is doing. This is their monster stuff.
And to me, that felt so try-hard.
You know what it felt like? The entire thing. You know what it felt like, Chris? It felt like Universal pulling a DC.
Yes. At the end of it, yep. I was just
thinking
they
pulled a DC where instead of telling an engaging and thoughtful story about a character that happens to tie in to all these other stories, they go for, all right, everything's tying into all this other stuff, so we have to make this movie. And it shouldn't even be called The Mummy. It should be called The Mummy : Dark Universe Bourne.
Or Dark Universe :
The Mummy.
The Mummy.
Either way, because
we would have made fun of from day one.
Because this movie has very little to do with the actual mummy and more to do with introduction of all sorts of silly characters.
Of the Prodigium.
Universe building.
Doctor, yes, universe building.
All of that silly nonsense.
It is so the opposite of what Christopher Nolan did with Batman Begins, in which outside of the Joker card teaser stinger at the very, very end of the movie, which even if you never made another Batman movie at that point, at least you know, okay, then this is it's Batman Begins. What's in Batman's future? The Joker, right? And then if you never made The Dark Knight, then it still would have been, it's not like a loose thread. We know what that means. He told a contained story that's just like, this is Batman Begins. Then when he did The Dark Knight, he's like, I'm not trying to set something up. This is The Dark Knight.
This is a contained story. It just so happens that later on.
Yeah, and then Dark Knight Rises. All right, well, we'll pick up 8 years later. We come up with a whole new story. And that's why I also sort of write Dark Knight Rises isn't as liked and as, you know, it's just not as good as the one before, right? Because he does everything individually. Mm-hmm. You're right here. They are totally like, the mummy is almost a side character in her own movie. Has a surprisingly simple story, which I was also thinking. Let me just talk about maybe a couple of things that I actually liked about the movie.
Because there are a lot of things that I liked about
the movie. There are things I liked about it, but overall, I don't feel like I could go see it. Like, it would be a very specific person I would say go see it, right? I like Sofia Vitello.
Yeah, she was great.
She was good. And I did like how simple her motivations were and what she wanted. Like, she wanted power. She made a deal with the devil, essentially. Killed her father and her newborn baby brother. And
his wife.
And I thought she died in childbirth. Well, that's what was in the legend.
Yeah.
Right? So
her mother died in childbirth.
Her mother died. Okay, excuse me. So she kills everyone and then makes a deal with her lover to use his body to bring in Set.
Yeah.
Who I was like, death. Great, another movie featuring Set 2 years in a row. Set's making a comeback,
yeah,
bro.
He is.
Who Set was he Gerard Butler in?
Yes.
Got to be, he was the bad guy in that one too. Okay. So he wants to make uses his body for Set, and then the whole thing, and then that part's in the trailer where she gets caught up, right? They stop it from happening, the ritual, and then they bind her. Quote, mummifier, which really all they did was wrap her up. They didn't mummify her.
Because
as the voiceover, Russell Crowe is like, they mummified her and then put her away. I was like, no, they didn't, because that means they would have taken her brains out of her nose.
Yeah.
They would have filled her up, embalmed her, stuffed her with dry flowers, cut her open.
All of her organs would have been stuffed in jars.
Yeah, yes, yes. So they didn't mummify her. They just wrapped her in tissue paper and then buried her alive. Which is like, why would you do that?
And then sealed everything in fucking mercury.
Okay, yeah, and sealed everything in mercury.
All that was really cool.
It's a good setup.
The setup was great, you know, minus the, you know, Tom Cruise and Jake Johnson.
Well, I'm going to talk about that separately. Yeah, I'm talking specifically about the mummy and the mummy thing, so yes.
That setup was great. Her tomb is awesome.
Yes.
All the mercury.
Not
the
even
way
a tomb, she pointed
up.
Out. It's a prison.
Yeah, it's a prison. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. All that, really cool.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
I did too. Although I take issue with the rope pulley system.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and like I said, we'll get back to Tom Cruise, the human characters, right? But then when they discover the tomb, and then the Annabelle Wallace's character, whatever her name is, she's like, oh, it's a prison, oh shit. And it's like, she's like talking to a thing, right? She's recording everything. She says, the ropes aren't for pulling it up, it's for keeping it down. How do ropes keep anything down? That makes no sense.
I have no idea.
The ropes aren't there for keeping it down. The ropes are an elaborate system for bringing it back up. Why, if you're trying to bury this thing, why not just stick stones to it and then sink it in a pool of mercury? Why is it attached to a big pulley system that you can then, like, like Tom Cruise character looks at the ropes. Like,
oh, like, I shoot this here.
It's like this rope right here. He shoots it, and the whole thing comes up. The weights are there. It's meant to come up. It's like that. It's stupid. Outside that one detail, yes, the entire prison tomb thing was very cool. And then her, and then she get like, oops, they let her out immediately. Like the camel spiders come out, the dust storm, like shit just starts going down because she's free. You know, in that regard, she's free and she can start manipulating things to like get her body. So all of that was fine. And then the way she restores herself and the way she chose Tom Cruise and his character, she's gonna use that body for set. It just makes sense. It tracks from beginning to end. And like the story, as far as it comes to her character, it's always going down that path, and it's always advancing. So I enjoyed all that stuff. It was some of the weird side stuff that was like, what's going on?
The talking to dead Jake Johnson, who's not really there. He's a ghost, and he's in his head.
He was there in the beginning, and then he disappeared for an hour, and then showed up all the way at the very end. I'm like, oh yeah, when he showed up at the end, I was like, oh yeah. Like, why weren't they using them more? Either use them or don't. Right?
Nope.
Like
only in the beginning, none in the middle, and then only at the end. Because, I mean, he has to be around to hang out with Tom at the end.
At the end.
When he's all big nose, long tooth.
I feel like that was a character that got cut down a lot. Probably. In the script phase. Yeah. And then...
Because he was the comedy relief.
He's comedy relief.
You don't need comedy... If it's a horror movie, you don't need comedy relief.
Well, horror and comedy, they
traffic... Action horror.
Action horror. It is its own thing, too, right? It's action-adventure monster movie.
Yes.
It's not a straight-up horror film. It does try to throw in a couple of...
Scares.
And PG-13 tense moments, scares.
But it's not...
Creepy images of... It's not... Of corpses, of dried-up corpses,
it's
right?
It's not scary, though.
It's... I never felt tension.
We just saw a Pirates movie. It reminds me very much of that.
Yeah,
it's that kind of horror.
Yes, 100%. Almost family-safe horror, right? Meant to be watched by a lot of people, which is fine. There's obviously an audience for that. It can still be made well. To a degree, Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell is that, except it gets a little... gooier than most others. But Sam Raimi, he can't help himself. It's still past the board. It's still got a PG-13.
He likes it gooey.
You know, they let a couple scenes in. God bless those stuffy parents over there. All the mummy stuff I liked. Okay. But it did feel small in the grand scheme because the first scene you didn't even realize how it tied directly to her because it was Knights of Templar shit. Mm-hmm. That whole thing with how they were, you find out later.
Yeah.
It's them hiding a stone. That gives that with the dagger together gives it power, which is a MacGuffin, right? It's the Sorts. It's the thing that's driving the movie. These two objects, everyone's trying
to figure another gem.
Another gem, some sort. All right, another gem, right? Ooh. Yes, and also from the co-writer of the Transformers movies, in which the first movie everyone's looking for with Wiki's eyeglasses, the map, and then the second movie they're all looking for something.
And this
else.
One, there's a map and a gem and a dagger.
He's writing this guy for years. He's been writing video game plots for blockbusters, and
people buy it.
A majority of the time, these movies make money, and it's a Saturday. We don't know exactly how much money. This movie's making. Actually, do you have your computer or your phone?
I have my phone. Put
your phone on Wi-Fi because I'm sure it's on Wi-Fi. And check Box Office Mojo for the Friday estimates. I'm curious to see how much money this is making. Because this guy has co-written some movies that have made tons of money but are also kind of critically shitted on. Because they're overall, in the end, not that well written. This one, in some ways, feels like that. Especially with all the Dr. Jekyll stuff. Let's get to what first. So all the Tom Cruise and the Val stuff, right? So in the beginning of the movie, they're long range reconnaissance army dudes. It's Iraq.
Nothing's up.
Okay, yeah, it's still early, and they're in Iraq, and they're supposed to be reconning
Mesopotamia, called Iraq.
I thought that was cute. Yeah, I was like, that's funny.
It's the truth.
And then it was showing like the Iraqis were shooting up.
Yeah, they're basically using.
They were destroying history.
Yeah, using Sumerian, statues as target practice.
And which is fucked up. So you know, and part of the mission there was to make sure a lot of that stuff got saved. Mm-hmm. You know, ISIS is doing the same thing. So that ties into how they end up finding the tomb, because...
they call it a fuck. They get shot at. It's off.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
They get shot at.
Yeah. Yeah. They get shot, pulled an airstrike, and it blows up the street, and they, well, I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, look what's underneath here.
Look what's underneath. And that's how we're introduced to Tom Cruise's character, Nick.
Yeah.
And his buddy Val, Jake Johnson. And, you know, it feels like they were written, like they got maybe a second draft or a third draft of their comedy. I don't know. There was a lot of banter. Like, oh, these guys are old buds,
Old buds, and they're kind of scummy.
I just wasn't feeling it though. It just felt like so. I don't know. I wasn't buying into it. Although I still love Tom Cruise the entire time. He's Tom Cruise. But I'm also watching the movie the whole time. Like, this is Tom Cruise. He's never Nick.
No,
whoever he's like, Tom, he's just a version of Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. Who's like, this one's kind of rascally, no, sort of Han Solo-y. Indiana Jonesy. Indiana Jones. How can you not think Indiana Jones when it's a guy who's hunting, quote, antiquities out in the desert?
Yeah.
You know, and he's...
But he's really selling them.
Yeah, sure.
He's not doing it for good purposes.
Yeah, he says they're for a museum, which is an Indiana Jones thing, but he's really trying to sell them on the black market, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
I mean, it's right. Blonde chick's just hunting monsters.
And the blonde chick presents herself as she's working for the government to save these things, legitimately to save these things and preserve them. And that is part of her interest for real, but she is really working for it. Then we find out Prodigium, right? Mm-hmm. So after she gets down there, they get down, they bring up the mummy's casket, and then we see in the trailer, it's on the plane crashes. Didn't expect Val to die on the plane. It seemed like he died from that spider bite, right? On the plane, his eyes rolled up.
Yeah, and he died.
But then he's like, he comes back all fucked up, and he takes the knife, and he stabs up Courtney B. Vance.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting that.
Right in the chest.
I was like, Courtney B. Vance, no! I didn't think he was going to survive the plane crash, but I didn't think he was going to go out like that.
Yep, no, he got stabbed before the plane crash.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then the plane crash happens with the birds, and, you know, we've seen in the trailer, it's all very exciting. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of it in the trailer. He gets to the morgue, he wakes up, right?
He's alive.
And then everyone's just like, whoa, what? And then he leaves.
Yeah.
No one really questions it. She questions that later. She's like, maybe you should see a doctor.
No, we're going to go I'm going to take you to a doctor.
Yeah. And then he's like, no, but first we're going to go to the crash site. And then he never goes to a doctor.
No, and you go to the crash site, see the mummy, freak out, first little action scene.
That is like the first real action scene. Well, I guess after the beginning. Yeah. You know, that one, though, where the insurgents are shooting at him and they're running across the rooftops and there's explosions.
Shut up.
It wasn't great action, but I noticed a lot of it was pretty practical in terms of, you know, Tom Cruise is emphasizing the practical stunt work. Like the scene where the building collapses. Yeah. Like, that was pretty well done.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was green screen work and stuff done in there, but I also felt like a lot of practical stuff.
That's
like they were on a platform.
In the trailer, that was filmed on site. Like wherever the fuck they were. That was all done outside.
That
practical
was
effects.
This was all practical. Yeah, see? So I mean as I was watching, it's like at least it felt like visceral, you know, like it's not that it was really happening, but like it wasn't a CG mess as opposed to some other scenes, like when he's being chased by some monster type thing. And you can tell it's CG, except for one point where it was very real and it was very funny. I laughed out loud, but we'll get to that later. So the plane crash, he's dead, but he's alive. And like you said, they get to that action scene where he's out in the woods and he fights the mummy, and the mummy, not really, the mummy really just kicks his ass. No. I liked how every time he tried to go at the mummy, she just like kind of backhanded him, and then he goes flying.
And then you see, just like in the trailers, they start piercing her with those things, and they tie her down. And then everybody goes to Prodigium.
Prodigium shows up, bad writing. No. Just then, here's another character out of nowhere shows up and stops the action, and then moves everything elsewhere so they can move on with exposition. That's where we learn about Russell Crowe's
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Again, this movie did manage to surprise me here and there in different ways. It surprised me how much they went into the Jekyll and Hyde thing
which they should have done at some other point in time.
I thought they were going to do it at another point in time.
To do it in the Mummy movie.
And I thought they were going to do it in a better way too, right? It felt out of place. Like, I know what you guys are doing, but it feels out of place. It was so weird.
It's like, here's a little 20-minute snippet about this character that has nothing to do with anything else.
Tom Cruise, his character gets to walk through the like the artifact section, and he sees like the vampire skull in the jar and shit like that. And like, what looked
the
like
merman's
that.
Hand. It looks
Or
a creature from the Black
Moon.
Maybe,
right? Yeah, exactly. Yes, and that must be creature from Black Moon. Yeah, exactly. So he meets him. He tells him, "Oh, we're hunting monsters. We hunt evil. This is what we do. And this is like probably the most ancient evil we found."
Yeah. The way, you're cursed. We're gonna kill you.
Yeah, you're cursed. And he does the thing where you're like, you're cursed anyway. And like, you heard her. She said it can't be broken. So here's the plan.
We're going to use that curse.
Yeah. The plan is, which makes sense to me, use the knife and the stone just like she wanted to stab him. Bring Set into his body, and then once they realize, yep, sets in now this mortal man's body, we obliterate this body, and yeah. we kill the evil god, and that'll, you know, alleviate some of the evil in the world, you know. And of course Tom Cruise is like, I don't like this plan, but then at the end he just does it anyway, sort of.
Yeah, but for different reasons.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. So, and then okay. What I like talking about things that I do like. I like trying to put positive spins on things, right? You know me. That's what I do. I love movies. Russell Crowe, his character, Dr. Jekyll. What I liked about Dr. Jekyll. I liked how he would feel like the Hyde, the Mr. Hyde coming through, the whatever he did to himself.
Yeah,
taking over, so he'd have to put some medicine in a thing. Yeah, and
get it ready.
And that big, huge, overly elaborate quad syringe. And he would always stab the back of his hand, and then he had a glove that covered his hand. And when he pulled the glove back, you could see that his hand was all fucked up and gross from having to constantly do that.
Well, Hyde is right there. So that hand is pretty much where it lives.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
So it's all, like, his skin is all fucked up. It all is gross and nasty. I appreciated that. And then
he switched to Limey speak when he became Hyde?
The limey
cream. Right then.
No, that I wasn't. Oh, you know that I wasn't too keen on. I was like, I get it, but I don't think I like it. It's kind of like Jared Leto's Joker. Like, I think I don't like this. I'm really not sure. I need to see more of it. I like how they have to get into and out of the room. He has the hand sink and it puts his hand up as Dr. Jekyll, and then when he turns into Hyde, Tom Cruise tries to get him, use it to get out, and it says Hyde, and it doesn't work. And he's like, oh, they don't let me out. It's like, God damn it, that's pretty smart. Yeah. Good for them.
He pressed the button.
But so. I didn't like, yeah. So I didn't like when he does do the change. I don't think I like the accent of the change. It's like, oh, this is me. Look at me now. I'm a bloke. Like, what? Yep. Like, I want, and like, his skin just like looks gray. Like, his eyes get weird. He just looks like gray and deadened.
Yeah, his skin, it looks like his veins are black.
Yeah, and his veins, yeah. So it just, they just CGI weird. Him yeah, looking.
It was dumb.
It looks pretty dumb. And Russell Crowe's also like in his 50s, and unlike, he's like the same age as Tom Cruise, but he's not eating greens and seeds.
No.
He's with Doug Liman eating at the fridge with the frozen pizzas. Yes. And we can tell, even with that suit on.
That he's got a couple pounds.
So it's like,
he's not in his gladiator days.
He's not in his gladiator days. Even in his gladiator days, he was like late 30s, early 40s. Even then, he had to work out super hard to look like that. He, as an actor, as Russell Crowe, has the gravitas and the weight. Figuratively, to be a Dr. Jekyll and to bring that kind of, you know, heaviness to a character. But literally, he also kind of has the heaviness that's like, are you that intimidating? I don't know. I still wouldn't want to pick a fight with him. But I also feel like I've been exercising a little bit lately. I feel like I could outrun him.
Maybe.
Probably. I could outrun 100 odd foot of grunt or whatever.
Perhaps.
Whatever he is. Yeah, so I didn't like that, and the fight seems like, oh, that's okay. The action overall was eh. It wasn't that well shot. It was like, a lot of it was dark. For there being so much action, it just wasn't, and look, in a world of, we talked about this before, in a world of John Wick and The Raid and their sequels.
There are new heights.
Yes, we expect our action to look a certain way to really appease us, even when it comes to like a mummy movie, and this wasn't doing it. It wasn't doing it for me.
No.
Which bummed me out because I like Tom Cruise and I really wanted to like this movie. And I tried to.
There are things that I like.
Things that I like that we're talking about.
As a movie, as a whole, as a story, like I said, they totally DC'd it up.
Yes, it does not coalesce.
Where's the movie going to end? How is that going to go under the next 8 movies?
Yep.
Write it from back to front.
Yeah, but instead, so. Final surprise of the movie is when, okay, so like they have the mummy in the prodigium, but she uses her mental link with the Tom Cruise character,
breakout,
and with a spider to get into the ear of a dude, breaks out. We see coming anyway because we've seen the marketing. Yes. It's in the trailer. She eventually breaks out of that setup. So it's like, again, there's no tension or anything. Like, I know this is happening. We've seen it anyway. Breaks out, and that's at least that whole, like, the tunnel sequence, right? And there's, like, which is what I wanted to get to. The part that made me laugh the loudest, and it was, I know it's an unintentional on their part, is when the whole underwater bit, right? That leads up to the final scene. They're going through tunnels, and they're underwater, and it's, like, flooded tunnels. Tom Cruise is like swimming, trying to get to the lady who's now like drowning at this point.
No.
Because as she's getting sucked underwater by the mummy, she's like screaming, "No, underwater! Yeah, and- like, why are you doing that? No, you need the oxygen. You're dying, idiot." She's stupid, mm-hmm. right? She's smart, but she's dumb.
Well, she dies.
That happens to people, and then she dies. He, Tom Cruise, starts swimming, doing his thing, and
he can't breathe, so he goes back. So
he goes back. Some more. He goes back, gets some air, and then goes back under, and he's swimming, and then there's all these coffins, old, ancient, like, night coffins underground, catacombs.
They all open up.
They all open up, and they start coming up out of the, into the water. I'm like, oh, that's cool, right? Underwater zombies, I appreciate that kind of shit, right? But then, it's a wide shot of Tom Cruise swimming, and then, like, four or five behind him, they're all swimming and chasing him, and it's an underwater chase scene, and they all look fake. And they all look really goofy, and I laughed. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is really funny. This is hysterical. And it's not supposed to be, but it is. I went from appreciating it to thinking it was dumb in like half a second.
Yeah.
It was a really quick
turn. It was awful.
It was a really quick turn. Underwater chasing, yes. Oh, no. No wonder no one's done this before.
There's a reason.
There's a reason it looks dumb. And but then he outswims them, I guess. I can't remember what happens. And then, so then at the end, big action scene, blah, 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 or whatever, right, with him and her. Mm-hmm. He stabs himself with the dagger to give himself all the powers.
Yeah.
Right, because she was like, "Hey, you'll have all the powers over life and death, or whatever."
Like, oh, I can save her!
It's like, I can save her. I can bring her back to life somehow because you know I have the power. And so he stabs himself, gives her the kiss of death, the succubus kiss of death. Uh-huh. Does her trick that she's doing the people to him? I was like, "Ooh, that's I appreciate that." Right? She
sucks her dry. Sucks her dry.
Sucks her dry. That's what she was doing. Yeah. And then he tries to wake her up. He's like, how does this work? He's like,
and then he turns into a monster, like right there. He's screaming. You see,
he screams at her. He's like, come on, right?
Long nose, his fucking
teeth
turn into fangs.
He turns into somebody like a crazy monster thing.
Yeah, with a huge nose.
Was he like kind of woofy? Is he kind of werewolfy? Is he gonna be a werewolf? I don't think so, right? No, nah. That is but the way they're doing these movies, though, who knows?
Who knows what he's gonna be? I'll tell you what, he's not a werewolf.
Well, whatever he is,
he's some sort of monster.
He's a monster now. Yeah. And he's going to Egypt. The movie ends with him, and he brought his buddy back, Val, who he's getting all cursed. He's like, hey, buddy, we gotta do this. And then he disappears for an hour, and he comes back at the end. Hey, buddy, we gotta do this. And then he brings him back to be his buddy.
Hey, buddy, we gotta do this.
And then he's like, hey, buddy, we gotta do this. And then they're on horseback in the desert going to the pyramids.
With the sandstorm behind
him. With the sandstorm behind him.
He's got the power of ancient Egyptian gods, apparently.
But does that mean he's the mummy? But he's not the mummy now, right?
Maybe.
The mummy monster?
I don't know.
No. What does that mean? So that's the thing. Now they're setting up. What is he? What is his monster? And Russell Crowe has the conversation.
Technically, he's set. He has set inside of him, but somehow it's like a half and half issue. Who knows?
Yeah, pretty much.
No.
So maybe he'll be some sort of mummy type thing. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird ending that has no definitive explanation to the point where they have characters. Dr. Jekyll's like, we don't know if we don't even know what's going on. He may be good, he may be bad. We'll find out later. We'll have to tune in next week. Same mummy time, same mummy channel. It's like, god damn it, tell a fucking story.
No.
That's why Wonder Woman was great, because it told a story from start to finish. It began and then it ended, and it's weird because it doesn't really fit with Batman versus Superman. But fuck it.
But it's the best one we've got.
It's the best one we got. Fuck those other movies. Yeah, Wonder Woman is kind of weird when you think about the grand scheme.
Oh, yeah.
So what's next? You know what is next?
Who cares?
I know what's next. I think Bride of Frankenstein is next.
Fantastic.
Which is weird. They're introducing their Frankenstein monster by going straight to Bride of Frankenstein.
Well, I mean, we know that they like introducing characters from that don't belong.
Multiple
in other
characters,
movies.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe they'll be Bride Frankenstein, but we'll get Frankenstein's monster, we'll get Dr. Frankenstein, we'll get the bride, maybe we'll even get the Invisible Man at the same time.
Man, that'd be a lot. That'd be a lot. And they already have Johnny Depp as Invisible Man and Javier Bardem as the Frankenstein's monster.
I mean, they're DC-ing it up, so why not DC it up some more?
Man, they are DC-ing it up. It's crazy what they're doing.
It is not the good way to do it.
I don't think so.
If you want to figure out a way to build a universe where it all connects, check out the Marvel movies. Those fuckers got it going on.
They got it going on because they did it organically as opposed to,
As opposed to forcing it.
As opposed to forcing it. And now they have this huge sandbox that they can work with, and then they drop that fucking Black Panther trailer that's all mega Afro-futuristic shit. It's like, what? This looks
awesome.
finally.
It looks awesome.
Marvel, at least, it took a while, but they got to the point where they can finally start doing, like, really bold, colorful, crazy things.
They had to get everybody on board first.
They did financially have to get everyone on board.
Once you get their
vision.
Once you get everybody hooked, and now people are like, oh, Marvel movies, yeah, whatever, I don't care what it is, I'll check it out. Now they can be like, yeah, hey, Black Panther, motherfucker, what?
Well, then here's Ryan Coogler's Black Panther. Bitches.
Exactly.
Better like.
I mean, they, man, I hope it's good. They liked Guardians of the Galaxy, which I'm sure nobody thought was going to do that well.
No, very, very few people did. And the only people who thought it did that well were talking out their ass. They had no idea what they were talking about. And this one, man, I wonder if, you know, the thing is with Universal and their monster movies, although Dracula Untold was supposed to be the beginning of something, and that went nowhere, and they never followed up on Van Helsing either.
I don't think they're going to be...
They've invested too much, I think. They laid a lot of groundwork. They've put in a lot of money. They've paid people.
Well, sorry, Universal.
They've already put out a photo shoot.
You did it wrong.
They already did a photo shoot. Have you seen the picture of Sofia Boutella and Tom Cruise and Javier Bardem? They're all just chilling. But I'm saying it's like the Universal is like they were all at the red carpet. Like, sure. This is it. So fantastic. If the Mummy underperforms, they can't can't really pump the brakes. They gotta let that train roll.
I mean, as far as I'm, I could see it underperforming. Then again, I could see people. I mean, I don't know.
There are people who are fans of the Mummy movies and they want to see them. And the original trilogy, not the original trilogy, but the previous trilogy, the one with Brendan Fraser, mm-hmm. not that good to begin with.
No.
I would say this is like on par with those.
We'll see.
So
we'll see what the people think.
We'll see what the people think, and then we'll see how Universal follows this up. But
man,
there we go again with another bullshit interconnected movie universe in which, oh boy.
The Dark Universe.
We are... I'm trying to think. I don't want to miss something. And what I think the reason why Tom Cruise... I always wondered why Tom Cruise would have even done this movie to begin with. Hearing Tom Cruise was in The Mummy, I was like, what? That just strikes me as odd. Not his cup of tea. But I think what drew him to it was... the chance to, at the end of the movie and then in future movies, play a character that's not human. The last time, I think the only time he's ever been able to do that was Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
And even then, he's just like a human who turned into a vampire.
Yeah,
he was great. Is still a monster, but he was still like, I'm a sexy vampire.
Yeah.
And drinking wine and talking blood wine.
Exactly. I mean, at that point in time, you have Tom Cruise in his prime.
Young prime.
Yeah, exactly. Young prime.
Yeah, sexy prime.
Brad Pitt.
Antonio Banderas. He was like
straight off the boat.
I do all my acting phonetically.
But everybody fucking gobbled that shit up.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
And because Anne Rice, that's a specific vampire genre that people love. That's one where everyone loves being vampires.
Yes, everyone's like vampirism is awesome. Vampirism, it's not a curse.
It's not a curse. This is great. Put a period on it. It's over. Vampires.
Let's go meet some people.
Let's go do it. Let's go do it, guys. So, other than that, he's been, you know, action stars, movie spies, and race car drivers, jet fighter pilot. American Made looks like a lot of fun. He's played real people. He's on comedy, but he's never been like a monster or anything like that. So, I think that's what drew him in. Then probably, you know,
money.
15-20 mil. But he also seems as the type of guy who has all his ducks in a row.
Oh, I'm sure.
Financially.
Well, that Scientology stuff, that his
probably put a lot of money.
His finances are probably very suspect, just because of that. Who knows how much money he's actually dumped into that organization.
And then there are tax free organizations, so how much that you could get back and write off as a church donation and stuff like that. All right, so I guess the moral of the episode is the IRS should audit Tom Cruise. Right, so there we go. Let's put that out there. Hashtag audit Tom Cruise.
Sure, whatever you say, Chris. I don't want the wrath of Tom Cruise coming out upon me.
He'll just come. He'll knock on the door himself with no other people.
I'll be like, damn, you're short. And he'll punch me in the face.
No, what he'll do is he'll knock on the door. Door opens. You look. You don't see anyone. You look down. It's Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He has a milk crate in his hand. He puts it down. He stands on it.
And then
he's looking at you. And then he punches you in the face. And you hit the ground. And you look up. You're like, Tom Cruise. And then he's like, why? And then at that point, he's super nice. He's like, why? Why are you saying these things about me? Why? aren't you being a nice guy? Yes, Mr. Cruz. And then he gets off the milk crate.
Dude, he might,
puts it under his arm, and then he walks away.
I mean, he might show up on, like...
So we're waiting in the helicopter, then.
No, exactly. Or he might jump out of the helicopter and land on you. I mean, he's been known... He does his own stunts. He's not afraid of getting hurt.
It's like, God damn it, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Up your ass. He throws a salad full of seeds in your face.
Man, maybe he should be the next Wolverine. He's short enough.
Yeah. And ripped.
I mean, he's ripped enough.
Yeah, he can be he's a fine enough actor. Yeah. I believe him as a Tom Cruiserine.
Yeah.
Wolver-Cruise.
Yes.
Hashtag Wolver-Cruise. Either or. Hashtag audit Tom Cruise. Hashtag Wolver-Cruise. That just sounds like a Wolverine appreciation cruise. Like, we're going on a 3-day cruise.
And appreciate Wolverine.
We're all going to appreciate Wolverine. We're going to have Wolverine trivia. We're going to watch.
We're gonna have some Weapon X stuff. We're all going to have a Rift Tracks Live of X-Men Origins.
Yes,
colon.
X-Men. Yeah, colon Wolverine. Yeah. It sounds like fun. Wolver-Cruise 2019. We'll get Hugh Jackman there. We'll find a way to get him there. We'll trick him. We'll trick him. We'll find a way. We'll make him think it's something else, and he shows up. He's like, "God damn, it's a Wolverine cruise." All right. Well, that's it. The mummy is meh. The mummy is the meh. Mummy.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. All right. So, thank you, Drew.
Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it. All right. That's what the mummy does.